Good morning, everybody. Hi, Millie. Today we begin a new series called Peace of Mind. How many want peace of mind? Okay, yep, we're all in this together. It's a new lesson series here in the Big Apple Church that'll last for about 6 weeks on Sunday. And we'll have some guest speakers coming in to help us out, both from within the congregation and from the outside. We have Dr. Ryan Irby coming in actually next week to share with us, talking about all kinds of things in these next weeks about peace of mind, which can be an elusive concept. So we're going to dig down deep and try to figure out how God can teach us to get it. We're talking about mindfulness. We're talking about being present. We're talking about calming our nerves with contemplative prayer. What is that, you ask? We'll get to it. Christian meditation. Ooh, what is that? All kinds of good stuff coming. Now, some of us are also excited about the women's national soccer team playing in the World Cup final today. And so for those of us that are interested in that, we ask that you give us peace of mind by not telling us anything about the score, because it started 38 minutes ago and we've recorded it and we'll be watching it at home. Thank you very much. The theme passage that we are going to be launching from as we work through the series is in Philippians chapter 4. And I just want to give a little bit of this to you right now as we consider God's word as it teaches us to get peace of mind. And this one line, it says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Let that sink in a little bit. There's something in God, some peace that is beyond our comprehension, something from the divine that is able to guard us, able to guard our heart, our emotion, our minds in some way that maybe we can't even explain. And it guards us from all kinds of obstacles and stressors and resistance that we feel to being at peace. We have a lot of those in New York City. And what we want is true peace of mind, not temporary, not finite, something that's going to last, something that's permanent, something that starts from the inside and then informs us into our outside. So as we begin, I want to show you a video illustration of the spectrum of emotions that each of us have in our hustle and our daily grinds that have been put together by some of the folks right here at Big Apple Church. I feel like that so perfectly pictures the arc that each of us have every day. There are times in the day where you're feeling at peace and other times where you are not. And it's a thunderstorm in your brain, right? And you're trying to organize all the thoughts and the emotions. And sometimes you're feeling what you're also expressing and what you're also thinking. Other times, all three are in three different places. And you look one way, but you're feeling something else. And this is the battle. The battle is to have true peace in our minds. And I want to thank Ben for that amazing film and Manami, of course. And really, we have an amazing and creative team here at Big Apple Church. And even as we look through all these beautiful slides that you're seeing, that's from the media team. Julie, thank you so much. Julie, it was amazing as she designed all these graphic designers. Big team comes together to make this happen. So the arc of our lessons together is going to be a little bit like the film. We're going to take you into some chaos. And then hopefully the word of God will lead us out. Amen. So if at any point during our services you start to feel a little bit stressed out, a little bit extra anxiety, that's by design. So that we can recognize what we feel when we're outside of this room so that we can deal with it in a spiritual way. Amen? Yes. So to give us a little bit of an exercise in the chaos, if you will, I'd like you to close your eyes and do this with me just for a moment. Don't fall asleep yet. So let your mind imagine that it's Monday morning. It's tomorrow. And you woke up late for work. Your heart starts to beat fast. You feel your breathing speed up. Imagine your breathing. There's no time for food. There's only time to quickly clean up and get out the door. You make sure that you have your phone. You're running to the subway now and your ankle turns. There's no time to stop. You ignore the pain. You get a text. You know it's from family. And then two more texts after that. You grab your phone to look, but you're also descending the stairs to the train fast so you can't look. You got to get your Metro card ready. The phone goes away, but you still feel its vibrations. You feel the anxiety. You wonder what the message is. You see the train approach beyond the turnstiles. You take out your Metro card and you swipe. And you move forward, but your hip runs into the hard, locked metal. You read, "Please swipe again." The train has now arrived. The doors are opening. Your stomach is turning. You swipe again. It doesn't work. People behind you in line are groaning. You swipe a third time. Yes, it works. You lunge forward to the train. The doors are closing. You barely squeeze in, shoving your way into a crowd of commuters. The doors shut behind you, and you avoid eye contact with those that didn't make it on the other side of the doors. Open your eyes. How are you feeling? Was that Friday for you? Was that last week for you? Is that every day for you? You made it. You got on the train, right? Wasn't the goal accomplished? Some said yes, some said no. And that's the question we're asking ourselves. Maybe we make it, but at what cost? We make it through each task, through relationship, through each day, but we're stressed out of our minds. I'm here to tell you that there is another way. We can't control the circumstances, but we can make choices about how we deal with the circumstances. Now, first, what I want to do is I want to make sure, because it is important to recognize that we do indeed live in a high-stress environment. Now, some of you guys are like, no, I'm good. Okay, but just roll with me on this. We're going to talk about it because there's certain things that are just fact. Someone named Marlin Way, she's MD, JD, board certified Harvard and Yale trained psychiatrist and therapist who lives in New York City, cites studies from the last 40 years archiving the pace of urban living. And New York City consistently ranks in the top 10 fastest cities in the world. No surprise, right? Walking, talking, buying, thinking, typing, negotiating, posting. We live in a state of what she calls cognitive overload. The brain is overstimulated, so much going on. It's constantly producing a fight or flight. We're all over the place and we're trying to just cope with reality. She writes that impatience and overactive urgency shoots adrenaline and cortisol into the bloodstream. We're at risk because of that, of high blood pressure, heart and kidney disease, lower immunity, decreased muscle tissue and bone density, as well as decreased cognitive performance. In short, you get worn down both physically and mentally. Can I get an amen for New York life? Okay. Studies also show and have suggested that city living is associated with increased rates of depression, anxiety, and psychosis, with 39% more mood disorders and 21% more anxiety disorders. So if you were on the bubble about living in New York and you came here today, now you're checking the weather in South Carolina going, hey, I think I'm going to move. But here's the catch. The catch is already over half the population of the world lives in cities. And by the year 2050, it'll be 2/3 of the world's population will live in crowded, condensed, crazy, chaotic cities like New York. So, we have to be aware of the hazards. We have to be aware of the pace. You know, for many of us, we love the pace. And that's a whole different lesson. Maybe we love it a little bit too much. Maybe we're frenetic and we don't realize it. And we're a part of the chaos, but this is time to reflect. That's what the series is going to be about. To be aware of certain hazards for our spiritual health, mental health, physical health. Because it's not just us in the Christian world that understands that there are hazards living in this world. The world recognizes it as well. That's why we're inundated with ads that promise peace of mind. I mean, I just looked at a couple very quickly. One, after I took a ride in an Uber and I got this link back. Peace of mind whenever you ride. John, we're committed to you to make sure you're safe. We want you to have peace of mind. And then I Googled it, and one of the first things came: peace of mind, commercial and residential services outside St. Louis. I don't know what that means. I don't know what they sell. I don't know what that is. But it looks big. I guess that's where you go when the hustle of the St. Louis world gets a little bit too much. I don't know. I'd never heard of it. But they promise peace of mind. Some other commercials, I want to show you a little montage of the promises of peace of mind that come with some capitalistic promises. Of course, true peace of mind. It's just a purchase away. You know, you can have the best car, but can't you still get in an accident? You can have the best home security and still get robbed. You have the best pest control and still get... We need something deeper, something spiritual, something money can't buy, because material fixes don't solve issues of the soul. The answer I'm going to put forward today is in a word that we'll study out a little bit more in depth today, but will be an underpinning of that passage in Philippians 4 and through the teachings that we get over the next few weeks. And that word is a word that you're familiar with, shalom. Let's all say that together. Shalom. Shalom. It's a Hebrew word. It means a lot of things, actually. It's more than just peace, which is one of the translations. And it appears in its own form in a lot of different languages, Pax in Latin, Arabic, Salam. It works as a greeting and a farewell, kind of like aloha or a namaste. It's a noun, it's an adjective, it's a verb, it's an adverb, it's an interjection. It's sort of beyond grammar. It's a God word. It's a divine word. And if I were to give it a sentence to describe its power, this word sums up God's intention for all creation, a harmonious coexistence with all life in the universe. That's shalom. When you would greet someone, even 2,000 years ago in Jesus's time with shalom, it wasn't just peace and peace out. It was, I pray for you that you would coexist in harmony with God, with others, with yourself, with the planet, with the animals. Complete wholeness. That is shalom. When we get into mindfulness and meditation throughout the series, this is the state of mind that we're aiming for. Unity with the divine, unity with the world, unity with others, unity within ourselves. An author, Cornelius Plantinga, describes shalom like this. The webbing together of God, humans, and all creation in justice, fulfillment, and delight is what the Hebrew prophets call shalom. We call it peace, but it means far more than mere peace of mind or ceasefire between enemies. In the Bible, shalom means universal flourishing, wholeness, and delight, a rich state of affairs in which natural needs are satisfied and natural gifts fruitfully employed, a state of affairs that inspires joyful wonder as its creator and savior opens doors and welcomes the creatures in whom he delights. Shalom, in other words, is the way things ought to be. In the Old Testament, we have dozens upon dozens of references, scriptures about peace, and most of the time, it's using the word shalom. The word shalom appears in the Bible over 250 times. As we look at some of those specific Old Testament verses, we zero in on the Psalms and the Proverbs. In Psalm 4:8, it says, "In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety." It is only at this point, when we realize that it's from the divine that we get true peace of mind, that we have that real good night's rest. In Psalm 119, 165, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble." We're going to dedicate a whole lesson to this, the idea of loving God with all of our minds. How do we do that? And how does the word play in to the desire for shalom? In Proverbs 14:30, "A heart at peace gives life to the body." And many times the word heart is also translated mind. In other words, my body will be healthy if my mind is at peace. There is a fluid motion in all the different parts of ourselves. We can't compartmentalize our health. We're all one person, and our aim is to be a whole person, not fractured. Right. Jesus uses the equivalent of shalom in all the Gospels. Here's a few references. Matthew 10, 12, peace be with you, like a greeting. Shalom. You know, peace be with you, even to be in you, that there would be peace, that this would be a prayer, that you would pray even for people that you love, that they would know peace, that there would be a spiritual tranquility, a calm that transcends the world. That's a great prayer to pray for somebody. If you're not sure what to pray for someone, or you want to pray for me, pray for that. Pray for me to have shalom. In Mark 9:50, be at peace with one another. Again, Jesus echoes the idea of the Old Testament prophets that there would be harmony among us as humans. There's so much divide in our world, economically, racially, by age, by belief. There's too much division. God's desire for creation is for us to be in harmony, in shalom. Jesus says in Luke chapter 10, in verse 5, peace be on this house or to this house. You know, as we reach out to our neighbors, as we extend a serving arm with our 2996 summer service campaign, bring our peace to people's houses, to people's lives, that we pray that as we leave, this is not just a temporary 1 or 2 hour thing, but that there was a connection that brought peace in relationship. That's what Jesus desired. In John chapter 14, in verse 27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. It's an important distinction to remember that what Jesus offers is not the same as what the world offers. That distinction is very important. The world can only give you so much. And we won't oftentimes be able to even understand what peace of mind is until we align ourselves with God. God is our creator. If we're not aligned with our creator, the rest is not going to line up. I learned this a long time ago. My friend, a chiropractor out in Los Angeles, he talked to me about the atlas and how the atlas is this bone that the head sits on top of, this bowling ball that's always going back and forth, this huge thing, the heed, the head, the mindset of where we go and what we do. It's super important. It houses the brain, and then all this nervous system flows through into the spine. But if the atlas is not aligned with the top of the spine, then things start to go awry down below. The order of our spiritual relationships is so important. If we're not aligned with God, it's going to be very difficult to be aligned in ourselves and with one another. For those studying the Bible that are part of our congregation that are searching for that relationship with God to restore it or to find it for the first time, you are on the right track. Amen. Continue to prioritize your relationship with God as an act of shalom. For those who are in the church who maybe have been feeling spiritually stale, feeling lost, feeling like you're in that dark valley, let today be an anchor for you to come back to. Amen. Sometimes we just need to see a way through and grab onto it and start moving towards it. Yes. Grab this opportunity for renewal. Amen. Let this series be an opportunity for renewal, for repentance, for a renewing of your mind. Yes. To find what you once had. In John 16:33, it says, in me, you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. It's not an if, it's a when. There is no guarantee, as many things as we can purchase, there's no guarantee for that total safety and peace in this life. And we follow a guy that went through a really hard time. We imitate him. We want to be like Jesus. Christians, we're like little Christ. We want to be like him. So why do we expect that it's going to be no trouble? In fact, we should expect the opposite, that it's going to be full of trouble. But this is the difference. When you accept that reality, that it's inevitable, that trouble's going to come your way, you're able to prepare for it. Yes. I don't know how Francois and Felicia have an ability to find peace in this time when they lost their baby girl 2 days old. But you know what? He's here today. Amen. Worshiping God, singing songs. It's not that he's brushing aside the emotions. He's feeling it. We felt it together yesterday as we were in the memorial service and those that were there. And we feel it as a congregation. Yes. I'm looking at him. I'm in tears when we're singing songs just a few minutes ago. Right. I can't imagine. It's unimaginable. Yes. Some of you know that feeling. But that kind of inner peace eludes what the world can offer. Right. If someone had cornered the market on that, we wouldn't be at church today. you were to purchase something or been somewhere else, this room would not be filled. You know, before I came up here, Francois handed me a letter. And he said at some point, Felicia and I would love for this to be shared with the church, so I thought I would read it now. It says, to the Big Apple Church, to our church family, we have been overwhelmed by your love and your support during this difficult time. Words cannot express how grateful we are for everything you've done. We thank you for all the cards, the texts, the voicemails, the meals, groceries, prayers, and your love. We have a long road ahead of us as we continue to mourn the loss of our Zoe Rose, but we also know the love we received will help us along the way. Please keep us in your prayers. We love you. First of all, I just want to say to Francois, Felicia, who's not here, your family, you are heroes in the faith. Yes. We applaud you and we support you and we're here for you. All I know, I couldn't help but think of Job in the Bible. God must know that their faith is able to handle this because he always has a plan. As we consider the different things that we go through, the challenges, the hard times that are inevitable, the times we've been through, the times that are coming that you can't predict, this series, this time, this lesson is an opportunity to prepare, to get our minds set straight. And I want to give you a little homework. You like homework? I got a couple of books I want to throw at you. It's not required reading, but I know a lot of you love to read. And so these are a couple of books out of a few others that I'm reading in preparation for this series. One of them is called Christian Meditation. It's by a guy named Finley, and he was a disciple of Thomas Merton's, who's sort of considered one of the fathers of Christian meditation, does a really great job of that. And then I really like Finley's book because he talks about not only sort of life as a monk and being sort of shut off from all things, but also coming back into the crazy and figuring out how to navigate through that. Holy Noticing is a newer book by Charles Stone. Went through some devastating situations with his family and had to really dig deep to figure out how he could become more aware, more mindful, and more present in understanding his relationship with God and finding shalom. So it's just a couple that I think might be helpful for you along the way. And there's a lot more. Someone just recommended a book to me last week that I got that is phenomenal. So I'll keep feeding you. You keep feeding me and we'll learn together. Amen. The biggest homework that I want to give you that is required, if that's even possible, I can't force you to do anything, but you will benefit from this. If you decide starting this week, and just you could do it as an experiment in your spiritual life, to set aside moments of silence. Now, you can decide how many minutes you'd like that to be. Maybe you got to start off shorter. Maybe some of you are more experienced with this. Sitting in silence is very difficult, especially as New Yorkers. And when your mind is racing and you got a lot going on and a lot of worry and a lot of anxiety and a lot of things coming, it's difficult to be able to empty yourself and to allow yourself to be in the moment. So my challenge for you is every day this week, we'll just call it the weekdays, Monday through Friday, to set aside a certain amount of time that you decide every day by yourself in silence. And then we'll have new challenges as the weeks progress. You guys ready to take that challenge?
Yes.
That's it. That's it. We're not even talking about instructions for meditation yet. We're not there. We're going to do some of that. Come ready next week. It's going to be good. But sitting in silence, this is the first step, just to be aware of the moment. Now, I'm going to guarantee you something. You cannot hide from noise wherever you're going to be sitting in what we're calling silence. So let me redefine silence for you. You're going to hear sirens. Probably, unless you fly very far away. You're going to hear yelling. You might hear a dishwasher. You might hear air conditioner. You might hear a fan. You might hear music. You might hear your next door neighbors. I'm not saying silence is the absence of all those things. I am talking about a silence in your soul. And when we train to sit in the moment and to be able to empty ourselves and focus on our breathing, then you'll get to a place where all of these noises become part of your silence. Now, that may seem like a really weird and ironic concept at this point, but trust me, next week when you guys share how your time went, man, I had 5 minutes of silence every day. Tell me about it. Let's talk about it. How did it go? It was cool. It was like noises would happen. I would just allow them to come. I would sort of let them come in and let them go out. It was amazing. I started thinking about God in the different moments and what he's doing in different people's lives and how one thing reminded me of this. And I didn't get caught on any one particular thing. I just allowed the moment to take me where it was going to take me. It's a ride. Okay. So be brave enough to try it. Amen. Moments of silence. Maybe 10 of you will do it. That's okay. I'll be encouraged to talk to those 10. I've been doing it recently and it has been amazing. I'm saying it's changing my prayer life. Amen. Things are happening in my mind and my spiritual life that I have not thought about before. Set aside some time. Amen. Let me go back to Philippians 4 and give you this final scripture to meditate on as you go. And this is from the Message. It says, don't fret or worry. Easier said than done. Instead of worrying, okay, here's the practical, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. Amen. I love that. Yes. That is awesome. Let that sink in. Make a note of the passage. Read it in all the different versions. Yes. And consider that as we go on our way. Amen. You know, one of the things that I wanted to show you was another resource that some of you might jump into, some of you might not. We're on the train quite a bit, and so transportation becomes part of our silence. And so oftentimes we're plugging into apps like the Bible Project or different reading of the Bible in a year type things, and you get them and you're able to get that time when you're going from A to B. There's another app out there. There's actually a lot about mindfulness, about meditation. Some of them, I would say, wow, these are amazing. Some of them, they kind of go off the beaten path a little bit. You've got to get your discretion on where you want to go with it. But one app that I've seen that I've liked a few of their videos is called Headspace. And it's something that I want to show you a little video right now that gives you a little other tool to think about this whole thing that we're talking about with peace of mind. And I'll address it a little bit more specifically after this short video about training the monkey. Well, that was a very short video. Our subconscious got that. Let me try that again. It's all right. You can go on Headspace and find it on your own. It's totally okay. Don't worry about it, media team. We're good to go. No, it's fine. Just leave it. It's good. It's actually okay because it gives you something that you can look at on your own and maybe find that or something else. The idea there is that our minds are racing like a wild monkey. And you want to get in the practice of not trying to trap it, but rather train it. Some of us, and even the Bible talks about this idea of these rigid and restrict rules to convince your body and your mind to do certain things. It's more about a training, not about a restriction, not about white knuckling. There is a discipline involved, but it's really about learning the tools to be able to harness all of that great energy you have in your mind towards God and his kingdom. We don't want to lose that great energy, if you know what I mean. And sometimes when you try to trap yourself and harness all that great energy and don't go anywhere with it, you drive yourself even more crazy, right? So we're not trying to go that direction. The two words I have up here are pray and practice. And I want to leave with those two maybe words in our minds, pray and practice, because peace of mind doesn't just descend upon you like rain from the sky, all right? You've got to pray for it and you have to practice it. Pray for peace of mind. pray. As you begin your times of silence, pray, God, help me to have peace of mind. I'm not even sure what that is. In fact, the Bible promises that it's something that transcends your understanding. So you might never know what it totally is. God, help me to have what you only know and what you can only give. And the second part of it is to practice peace of mind. The best way to exist in a place where your mind is still is to do it with the best of your ability. That next time you squeeze into the train and huffing and puffing and all the crazy, do a little meditation, be in your silence, say a little prayer. Start giving yourself tools to be able to deal so that we're preempting, not reacting to all the crazy that life throws our way. Pray for peace of mind. Practice peace of mind. It is possible to train the wild monkey that is your brain to still the noise that's in our minds, to create space for God's shalom to cover over us. What we're going to do at this time is prepare ourselves to take the communion, to remember Jesus, how he lived and died for us and rose again. And what I'm going to do right now is we're going to spend a few moments in silence before I pray for the cup and for the bread. Allow yourself to get comfortable, close your eyes if you like, to focus on your breathing, to focus on what God is allowing to happen in your minds, the thoughts, let them come, let them go. And then we'll pray. Let's bow. Our Father in heaven, we approach you in humble silence. We demonstrate our worship for you, our respect for you, our admiration and reverence for you in this humble posture of prayer. We recognize you as creator, as author and perfecter, as king, residing over all things, existing outside of time and space. You have knowledge that is so far beyond us, and we're grateful for that. We're grateful that there are things that we can't describe about you. We're grateful that you're beyond the things that we experience, because we know that we need something outside of ourselves to be able to bring us true peace of mind. Father, we pray for peace of mind, and we also ask that you help us to practice peace of mind. Be with us in our new moments of silence this week as we allow you to dictate the pace of our lives, not the world. Help us to fight the right battles. Help us to aim for harmony with you, within ourselves, and with others. As we remember Jesus, we're so grateful for his example as he walked shalom on this earth 2,000 years ago, as he was in complete communion with you and sought complete harmony with those around him. Thank you that he believed that so much that he died for humanity to know you, that he stepped in the divide that separates you from us, and he bridged that gap and allowed us harmonious connection with you. Thank you that that curtain was torn in two. Thank you that we can pray to you now. Thank you that we don't need anyone but Jesus to intercede, to mediate between us and you. We thank you that he did these things, that he lived, that he died, that he raised again, so that we might know true shalom. We thank you for the bread and the cup, which represents his body and his blood. We thank you for the communion. We ultimately thank you for the communion that exists between you and us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.